Once your heart is belong to God, yes. The Jesus Christ says, where your money is, there your heart will be. Yes. So where should be our money? Where the God is.
Yes, sir.
People say, oh, God doesn't need anything. God has created everything for the mankind. When Melchizedek came to Abraham, did not say, Abraham, I need something. He didn't ask him. But he saw the need of Abraham. What was the need of Abraham? Abraham was tired. His servants were tired. They had the war and they had only 318 people, as we learned last week. And they went to war with the five kings and his armies. Can you imagine? Even the one king and his army, there was no match for Abraham. Abraham was a stranger in the land. He is going through other people's land. And there are kings coming against Abraham's nephew, Lot, took him and all of his belonging. What happened? Somebody comes and says to Abraham, your nephew and his children and his family and everything is gone. He took only 318 people and went in the midnight and defeated all. Can you imagine, whole day you worked, night time you're supposed to sleep and take a rest. But they decided, we are not going to rest until we deliver the Lot,
yes,
and his family. So whole night they had a war. And the enemy might be sleeping.
Yes, sir.
When the enemy was sleeping, they defeated all people. And when they were tired and weary, here comes the Melchizedek. Here comes God. Here comes the someone to rescue him. You are hungry, I have a bread. You are thirsty, I have a grape juice. He said he gave it to Abraham. Abraham cannot eat himself. So I'm guessing that Melchizedek did not give bread to Abraham alone, but all of the people who Abraham had.
Yes, sir.
Can you imagine the warrior, only 318 warriors, and once you are a wrestler or the boxer, do you know how much they eat? They eat a lot because they have to build their bodies. So 318 people are hungry here, and then all the Lot's family and all the Abraham's family and all the children and everybody. Thousands and thousands of bread and hundreds of gallons of drink. We just said he gave it to Abraham. Somebody said, oh, he gave a Lord's Supper. He gave them food and drink.
Yes, sir.
And when they were satisfied, Abraham came to know, this has to be God.
Yes, sir.
No man can do this. And Abraham starts searching who this man was after he left. And then he found out there is no name of this man. There is no his mother or father registered in any of this kingdom. So that's why he said he has no mother or father or no lineage or nothing. That's what Abraham found out. Otherwise, how do we know that this was Jesus Christ? But he gave him tithe. Tithe means what? 10% of what he got the loot. What he got the money from the people and the cows and the sheep and goats. Whatever he got. He gave 10% to the Melchizedek. And the Melchizedek did not say, I didn't want it. I don't want. When somebody gives to the child of God or the church or the pastor, if that pastor says, oh, please don't give the tithe. Don't give your offering. What the pastor is doing, he is blocking your blessing. If you don't give, you are not going to be blessed. Look at the Abraham. When he gave it to the Lord, God blessed him. Silver and gold and everything. Not only that, he didn't have the son. God gave him son after he gave the tithes to the Lord, not before. So what the word of God is saying, last week we learned Deuteronomy chapter 28 verses 1 to 13. We learn all the blessings comes when you obey, hearken to the voice of God. Yesterday somebody called me and he said, I am giving money to my son. I even borrowed the money and gave it to my son. Pastor Peter, could you tell me, am I doing right or am I doing wrong? If I tell him, you're doing wrong, don't give it to your son, that will be wrong. But I say, sir, what you're doing is wrong. Borrowing is wrong. Bible says, do not be debtor of anybody. But some people borrow and they don't want to pay it off. That's the sin. I said, your son is young, he has children. If everybody start working, they will not have any problem. But they come to you, dad, I need this, I need this. And then you borrow money and give it to them. Instead of that, what you should be doing, I taught my children, when I give the $10, I told them, give dollar to God. If somebody, uncle or auntie or somebody gives you money for your birthday, you better give it to the Lord. Somebody says, oh, it's not my job, I didn't get a job. Whatever you got from anyone, 10% is belong to God. How did you learn? We learned from Abraham. Then we learned that Abraham's sons, Isaac. Isaac also learned the same thing. Just like Abraham's wife was barren, Isaac's wife was barren also. The word of God says Isaac sowed in the famine and he got what? 100-fold in return in the foreign land. And not only that, the word of God says God heard Isaac's prayer and he gave him children. Then the Jacob. Now see, Jacob sees, father gives to the Lord and God bless. My grandfather gave to the Lord and he got blessed. So what should I do? I should be giving to God. If you don't give it to the Lord, your children will not give it to the Lord. And their children will not give it to the Lord. Because they are saying, grandma, grandpa never went to church. They never give it to the Lord. Why should we give? And they were blessed. They don't know, some of the grandma and grandpa is in hell. They don't know. Some of them might be rich and went to hell. The richness will not take you to heaven. You remember one rich man came to Jesus Christ and he said, what should I do to go to heaven? What Jesus Christ said? Sell everything what you have and give it to the poor. He was a billionaire. And Jesus Christ said, then when you do all of these things, follow me. Now, Jesus Christ lived on earth 33 and a half years. Out of that, he was only 30 years old when he started ministry. So how many years he worked for the Lord or did the Lord's work? 3.5 years. Now, this billionaire, I don't know what time he came, end of the Lord's Jesus ministry or week before or when he started the ministry, it's not written. But if you have billions of dollar business and you start selling, it will take more than a couple of years. So Jesus Christ was giving him an idea. If you want to success, sell, do business. And when you do business, make God your partner. Once you give your life to Jesus Christ, something happens. Your life changes. And then you're going to say, whatever I have is belong to God. And I'm going to give it to God. And that's what happens. So Abraham gave, Isaac gave, and now Jacob. Jacob saw how God blessed Abraham. He can tell the stories. And his father can tell the stories. And now Jacob has to run away from home. But he got blessed, right? His father blessed him. Even the Esau wanted to take his blessing, but he got his birthright and he got blessing from the Lord. Why? Because he was obedient child of mom. And he listened to mom. Mom said, you know, before you were born, God told me that you are going to be ruler. You are going to be head, not the tail. Even though you came after, but you are going to be head. You're going to be blessed. God is going to bless you. God told me. And he ran from his brother's wrath. You know the story. I'm not telling whole story. Go to the Genesis chapter 28. Start reading from verse 20. We don't have time to read the whole thing.
And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, "Will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace. Then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee."
Now see what he promised God? He said, "Lord, I'm running away from my brother. I don't have anything." What did he ask? Did he say, "Give me $1 million and then I'll give it to you"? No. He said, "If you give me the clothes and the food and keep my life safe, and when I come back, whatever I get, I will give 10% to you." That's what he made a commitment. And not only that, when I come, and not only that, this will be the house of God. Means I'm going to put a temple here, or I'm going to put a church here, or I'm going to make a prayer there, and I'm going to dedicate that place to God. And that's what he said, and he left. And you know, when he left in the strange land, it was not easy for him. He got problem after problems after problem. And he was there almost 20 years or more. Sometimes you make a vow to God, "Lord, if you give me job, I will give 10%. When God gives you a job, you forget all what you said. You keep the word and God will bless you. Look at what Jacob did. Go to Genesis chapter 35. Start reading from verse 1 to 7.
"And God said unto Jacob, Arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother."
God is telling Jacob where to go. I don't think Jacob forgot, but God reminded him.
"Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, Put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments."
Jacob is saying to all the people, now there are so many people came with Jacob, his family members, his servants, and all the people traveling with him. Now some of them are heathen. Now he's saying, listen, now I'm going to go to the place where I met the Lord. And God spoke to me. Now that place I'm going, so we do not want strange God in that place. He told the people what to do. What did he say? Put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. Now, once you are born again, child of God, this thing should happen to you. What? Change your garments. What does it mean? If you are using the filthy clothes to attract a man or attract a woman, or using a bad kind of dress style, change it.
That's right.
Once you're born again, child of God, you are telling others, "I belong to God."
That's right.
If you want to see God, see me. What Jesus Christ said, "You want to see Father? See me." Same way we can say, "You want to see Jesus? Here I am, the model of Jesus on earth." We are here to let the people know what God is all about.
Oh, yeah.
We are here to let the people know we are the children of God. And looking at you, people should know, hey, this dress looks clean. This dress looked neat, this person's language is clean, and this person is not the worldly man, but is changed man. That's what he was saying. I want you people to change. Okay, let's verse 3.
Let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went.
See what he's trying to say? This is a testimony. He is testifying to these people. Maybe he didn't get a chance there, but he got chance now. He said, listen, when I was in trouble, when I was running for my life, God met me, God talked to me, God comforted me. And that God is with me. And he said he was with me all the time. And he blessed me wherever I went. Once you make a commitment with God and make God is your Lord and your Savior, what the Word of God says, wherever you put your hand, that will be blessed. We read it last week. We can read it again if you want. Psalm 1. Verses 1, 2, and 3. Please read. We'll come back to this.
Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper.
Whatever he does, what? Prosper. Now Jacob went there. He got not one wife, two wives, and got more wives, and got more children, almost a dozen, and so much blessing he got. He would have said, hey, I'm not going back there. He said, I'm not going back there. Why? My brother is going to kill me. Now I have children, I have land, and my father-in-law says, don't go, stay here. Why should I go? Why he came back, do you know? He made the vow with God.
Yes.
I have to come back and make an altar there. He had the vision, I'm going back, and I'm going to worship the Lord. He start testifying, you know, I came with an empty handed. But God was with me. Wherever I went, God was with me and he prospered me. Go back to Genesis. Okay, verse 4.
And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand and all their earrings which were in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem.
Okay, now what did they do? He said, take away all the strange god. When they pierced the ear in the olden days, they pierced the ears of the slaves.
Yeah,
piercing of the ear was the sign of slavery. So now they pierced the ear because they were slaves. I'm not a slave. Why should I pierce my ears? So they pierced their ears and they got the earrings. And those days, those earrings are sometimes gold earrings. And today also, some people have earrings of what you call gold, and earrings of silvers, and earrings of diamonds. And even the now, football players and big macho people, they have pierced the ears and put some kind of jewelry. They're thinking that we have something. And so all of these things is what? All your jewelry you do is what? Pride. All the jewelry is pride. Because you don't put your jewelry in your pocket, do you? Do you know I have some jewelry in my pocket? No. You put it on. When you put it on, somebody says, oh, how much is it? Yes. And then all you say, oh, this is $5,000. How about yours? Oh, mine is 7,000. Oh my, I have to get like that. Where did he get it? Oh, that's a jeweler in Center City. What I'm trying to say, all the jewelry shows the pride. So now he says, take away the foreign gods. They got the idea. those gods were what? Made out of gold. Jacob would have said, hey, give me all this gold. I need some gold when I go and fight with my brother. But what did he do? These people gave all the earrings. This is all the old heathen custom. That's why he gave it. Because Laban was a heathen man. He had the heathen god. Do you remember? When his daughter took those gods and sat on it. And what happened to her? She died. Got cursed. So here they took all this jewelry and all these diamonds or whatever they had and gave it to the who? Jacob. Did Jacob say, I tricked you. I got all your jewelries and all those foreign gods. Now I'm rich. What did he do? Dig a hole and what? Buried. What? Dust to dust. I do not want it. So that's what it is. And then, now look at this. All the silvers, all the golds, all the gods, all the money, all the fame, all these animals are following Jacob, right? So the Jacob is a rich man. So somebody said, oh, now this stranger walking on the street, anybody can come and fight with him and take all these things what he has. But what God did? Put fear in their hearts. Whose hearts? Enemy's heart. Deuteronomy chapter 28, we read last week, if you remember. 28 verse 7. He says, enemy comes to you one ways and what? Runs seven ways. So many people might have come to attack Jacob. So what did the word of God say? He put the fear in their heart. When you are a child of God, don't worry, somebody is going to rob you or somebody is going to do something wrong to you. Because God is watching over you. What the word of God says, God never sleeps and what? Never slumbers. So God is watching over you. And there is a word, Psalm 127 verse 1 and 2, he said, if God does not build the house, what? Builders, building is in vain. If God is not watching the city, the watchman's watching is in vain. So that means if God is not watching over you, you can keep 1,000 security guard, no use. These people were traveling from the strange land, having all this wealth. God put fear in his enemies, and nobody came to attack him. Okay, go ahead.
So Jacob came to Luz, which is in the land of Canaan, he and all the people that were with him. And he built there an altar and called the place Bethel, because their God appeared unto him when he fled from the face of his brother.
Their God appeared to him, he did not forget, and what did he do? He built the altar and sacrificed whatever he had, 10%. It doesn't say here he gave the tithe, but when we read in the book of Genesis chapter 28, he made the promise, when I come back, I'll give my tithe. That time there was no temple, that time there was no priest, so he can give it to somebody. So what he did? Slaughter the animal on the altar. El Bethel. What? My God lives here. This is the temple of God or the house of God or God's place. And he was so much happy. He never said, oh my, thousands of goats and thousands of cows and thousands of animals I have to slaughter. And not only that, he made that place of what? Worship. If you make a vow to God, you keep it. Otherwise, don't promise God. God doesn't want your promises. God just wants the righteousness. So we have to learn to give. Let's go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 7. Start from verse 1.
For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings, and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. And verily, they that are of the sons of Levi, who received the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham.
Abraham gave tithe to God, Isaac gave tithe to God, Jacob gave tithe to God, and when the priesthood was started in the time of Aaron and time of Moses, they remember, hey, our father Abraham gave tithe to the Lord. And so we came of the loins of Abraham. So we are the children of Abraham. So what they learned, if Abraham our father gave tithe to God, we should be giving too. They remember, that's why God gave them the law. Say, your forefathers Abraham gave tithe. So now all the Levites, you came from the Abraham's loins. So now you give tithe to God. And that's what this tithe was started. God wanted to remind these people, Abraham gave tithe. That tithe did not finish there. Now somebody says, oh, the Levites already finished. And there is no Levites, and there is no tabernacle, there is no temple, so why we should give now, right? That's what we think. But he says, that high priest, or the priest, was Melchizedek. And this has a new priesthood was started. And that now in the book of Hebrews, if you read, our high priest is who? Jesus Christ. So now the new priesthood started. Old people, in the Old Testament, people give the tithes to Levites. And God said, now, when you go to the strange land, I'm going to give land to everybody. Now, how many tribes there, do you know? There were 12 tribes. God said, I'm going to give you all the land, but I'm not giving to Levites anything. So people might be thinking, Levites, when we serve the Lord, we don't get anything. All the lands are given to the Israeli, 12 tribes. But then he made the law. He said, now I'm telling Israeli people, if you get a 10-acre land, 1 acre give to Levites. Now, just think, everybody got 10-acre land. So they give one acre to Levites. How many they got?
Nine.
Now, everybody gave to the Levites. How many tribes there are? 12 tribes. So how many acre Levi got? 12 acre land. They got 9, he got 12. So when you serve the Lord, you get more. So here, God says, Abraham gave tithe, and he gave it to the Lord. And now he says, now you are born from Abraham, learn from Abraham. I blessed him, and I want you to be blessed. So children of Israel, he said, give one-tenth to Aaron's family. And all the Levites got at least what? 12 times than others. And then he said to Levites, now you give 10% to Aaron, high priest. And then he says to high priest, now you give 10% to the Lord. Now what he has to do, take 10% and put it in the treasury.
That's right.
To the Lord. And that's what the tithe is all about.
Yes, sir.
Why he was putting in the treasury? Because he wants to help other people.
That's right.
And that's what the tithe is all about. So here the word of God says, Abraham gave, Isaac gave, Jacob gave, and now God gives to the law, to the Levites. It's the tithe is holy. Go to the Leviticus 27 verse 32.
Concerning the tithe of the herd or of the flock, even of whatsoever passeth under the rod, The tenth shall be holy unto the Lord.
See, whatever you have belong to God, but he said when you give tithe, that becomes holy. Mm-hmm. You got $100. That's all God gave it to you. But you take $10 and put it aside, that becomes what? Holy unto God. Now what does it mean? Do not give holy things to what? The dogs, or holy things to unholy people. That means your tithe, you should not give it to the poor and needy. They say, oh, God said give to the poor. There are three ways to God says. One is called tithe, other is called offering, and third one is called alms, means giving to poor and needy. Now here also there is a law. When you're giving to God, give your tithe 10%, that's holy unto God. 10% to God, that's holy. Then when your remaining money, you give it as a sacrificial offering to God, not to anybody else. That means, now just think, you are a church member. You give your tithe to the church. And if you want to give offering to the radio preacher or guest speaker or any other ministry you want to give sacrificially. Don't take it from tithe. Somebody says, I got $100 tithe. I'm going to give $10 to church. I'm going to $10 to radio. I'm going to give $10 to some orphanage. And they divide their tithe according to their will. God says, tithe belong to me. You're not going to think where you're going to give. Tithe belongs to the Lord that goes to the storehouse. And the sacrificial offering you give every week, what you give, dollars, $5, $2, that's your sacrificial offering. And the alms you're giving to the poor and needy. Now those also, don't give it to the beggar on the street. He says, poor in the Lord, household of God. You saw some poor Christian, means Christian brother, lost the job. Or Christian brother, lady got pregnant and gave birth to baby. So you go to her and do minister to her and give some money and say, you know, help them financially. That's your alms, not to big beggars. A beggar, if you get some beggar and he says, give me $1. I say, what do you want to do with it? I'm hungry. Take him to the McDonald's. Give him food. Don't give him money. He will take that money and pay lottery, or take that money and get the drugs. What the word of God is saying, give tithe to the storehouse is holy. Give sacrificial offering to the Lord and give alms to the poor people in the Lord. Household of God. Don't give your money to somewhere, not the hypocrite brother. Brother who is genuinely saved and born again Christian and lost the job. We learn Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. God says now, Levites, give tithe, and the tithe is holy. So we cannot take the holy things and eat. If you take the tithe and eat, what happens? We get cursed. How do you know? Because Malachi chapter 3 verse 8 says, you robbed me. And because you robbed me, you got cursed. So when we take the tithe and eat it, becomes cursed. Now somebody says, when should I give my tithe? You can give tithe every week. You can give tithe every other week. You can give tithe once a month. You can give a tithe once in a 6 month. Or you can give tithe once in a year. But be faithful. When you're storing your tithe, you get tempted to use it. So it is better to give it away. You can give it every week. You can give every other week. You can give every month. You can give every year. But be faithful. Tithe belongs to God and is holy. You cannot take from the tithe and eat it. He says the gospel is for what? Poor people. And people took it wrong. The gospel is for poor means everybody has to be poor. Then the gospel will come to you. No, he says when the gospel comes to poor, that poor will be rich. That's what it is. Once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, what he says, what is belong to God is belong to us. He says, my God, Philippians 4:19, what? My God will supply all your needs according to what? His riches. What does it mean? He's a king.
Yes, sir.
King of kings and Lord of lords. If he wants to give it to you, did you hear any time the king gave somebody a penny? Gift? No. King will not give penny to gift. He will give lands and houses and big, big stuff. The king's gift. You should read it in the December month. Some rich people, what they give it to their friends. The rich people will give the maybe $50,000, $100,000 or $1 million gifts. Our God is the God of all the universe. He's the richest God we have. So when he supplies your needs, wow, in riches and in glory.
That's right.
In Christ Jesus. So when God gives to you, you will have everything. Our God's name is what? El Shaddai. What does it mean, El Shaddai? El Shaddai means all sufficient God. You will not have any lacking when you have the El Shaddai. When we have the God who is more than enough. Our God is a good God. And he says, when you serve that God, you cannot be beggar. Let's pray. Shall we rise? Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Thank you, Lord, for teaching us all about tithe. Your tithe is holy, and we are holy people. We are going to obey your word. We are going to do the right thing. And we will not be beggars, but we will be rich in Christ. We commit ourselves into your loving hands. Give it to us so we can give you more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. And amen. Please be seated.